Hello and welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Duncan Donuts, and Mike, aka Tupids. Mike, how are you doing today, my mate?
Very good, very good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, all right.
Great.
Just off the, just fought off the flu and
you survived.
Know. Yeah. Lesson from that is make sure I got a flu jab next time. That was brutal. Yeah. I think it's like the third time I've ever had it.
I mean, to be fair, I did think you might die at one point, judging by how you're talking to me. I was like, that sounds horrific.
It was horrific. It is what it is. Past it now. Like, pretty much back to normal. Just feels like a cold. Yeah. Like a bad
cold. You just sound huskier now.
Yeah. I'll keep that. Keep the huskiness.
Yeah, keep that. Yeah. Slightly more manly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Slightly more manly. Okay. this is the third time I've had the flu in my life. Before I had the flu the first time, I actually sounded like David Beckham. It's been a progression.
I'm Victoria.
Yeah. Right, so Mike, what's the episode title today?
So we are episode 48, and the episode title is geniusly from yourself. Yeaster Bunny.
Yeaster Bunny. So we're going to talk a bit about whiskey, chocolate, Easter. We're also going to have a go at devising the ultimate Easter egg hunt, which will obviously include whiskey. Mm-hmm. But first, we're going to have a catch-up about, first off, Mike, what's been in your glass? What's been up your ass, my friend?
What's been in my glass is a hell of a lot of stuff at Whiskey Live London.
Missed that, didn't I? It's worth it.
Yeah. I remained, for me, going to a festival with free whiskey. Very professional, I thought.
Yeah. No headbutts.
I remember getting home.
Right.
I got the train home, didn't even have to get an Uber and crawl in at 3 a.m.
You turned up later on in the day, though, am I right?
No,
thinking?
I was there not long after opening in the end.
Oh, well
I
done.
I managed to get got off quite early. So, yes, very good day.
Did you see, were you hanging out with Chinese Diego or?
Just for a bit of preamble, I gave a very, very bad Spanish impression just before this started.
Yeah, so he did an impression of Diego before it started and it sounded Chinese, so he's now Chinese Diego.
Chinese Diego. So, instead of Diego's nuts, it's Diego's noodles.
We should actually, because Diego has his own nut range, doesn't he?
Diego does, yeah. So flavoured almonds sort of that are specifically designed to match up with whiskey types. So
are they
heavily sherried,
Diego's nuts?
Peated. Don't think they're Diego's nuts. Can't remember the brand. We'll find out. I'll put a link somewhere. I'll get them from him. But yeah, so Diego, if anyone doesn't know him, at Sherry Hound on his social media. Lovely chap. Looks like Puss in Boots with his big eyes. Very handsome chap. Rugged Spaniard. Insert any picture of. So met up with him quickly. And we sort of bounced around a few stands. I took in quite a lot of sights. Whiskies, I sort of dived into Bushmill 16, port, lovely, very decent. That was sort of immediately as you walked into the venue.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. The one that did tickle my fancy was the Annandale Man of Swords, an ex-Fino single cask.
Yeah.
At 60.4%, just really good stuff. I definitely was not advised by the person on the stand to avoid buying it directly from Annandale. I think Annandale have got it up at £95. Master of Malt currently at £66. So, yeah.
Right. Well, Annandale have already made their money on that, haven't they? Anyway.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. 65.68, as I correct myself and look at it at the moment. So, cask 397. And that's a little recommendation from me.
Yeah.
Bumped into Ian Allen. Lovely bloke, obviously global ambassador for Glenmorangie.
Intergalactic
brand ambassador.
Thank you.
Also there was Stephen Woodcock, head of Whiskey Creation, who was still chuckling away at Ian's nickname, which he is trying to get spread around the company.
Ian, okay. That's not our fault, to be fair. Ian's own fault.
That was Ian's own fault. Ian less than impressed at how well that has been doing the rounds. Glenmorangie.
Oh man, he's such a nice guy as well.
And Jules Mason was on the stand again, so wicked team on the stand. They had some of their Amarones, Amontillados, and obviously 1821, so had a few of those. Bounced about then, found a little independent bottler I haven't come across before, and I am going to bastardize this. Stubhart? independent bottler.
Okay.
S-T-I-U-B-H-A-R-T.
S-T-U-I-H-B.
S-T-I.
S-T-I. That's a great start, isn't it?
You can take one pill now. It'll get rid of it all.
Yeah.
So S-T-I-U-B heart. S-T-I-B-H-A-R-T.
Okay.
Stupid. Anyway, they had a Bunnahabhain 10, peated, single cask, cask strength. That was absolutely delicious. Really, really nice. That's 80 quid from their own website. Bottled right. up in Fife, I think. But yeah, I think 80 quid is pushing that boundary for me on price for a 10-year-old. But single cask, cask strength, peated Bunner. Yes, please. That was very, very good.
So far you've referenced three whiskies. I suspect you might have tried 30 upwards. Or did you not? Were you really well behaved?
No, I didn't do that many, if I'm honest. I kept it sensible. So I bumped into Claire Vulcan's at Torre Vague.
Oh, yeah.
Then got into a lot of masterclasses. So the White and McKay team snuck us in and we didn't leave. So we managed to sit through the Dalmore masterclass, the Fetacare and the Jura.
Lots of whiskey on the floor then. Okay.
Yeah, so I had to put a sort of an acknowledgement of my own errors and attitude out on Twitter and social media where I said, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And it was a bottle of Jura 21.
I saw that. Yeah.
Absolutely lovely. Really nice dram, but it's 21 years old. So, yeah, pricey, I'd imagine. They then had a... quite young, absolutely amazing, really, really good. So there's two banging jurors, and I was like, oh man. And I actually spoke to Kirsten McCallum after. I went, look, I gotta be honest, I don't like Jura. I really don't like Jura. I'm quite publicly about not liking it. And she was like,
You're just a friendly guy, Mike.
Yeah. And I went, but those two are wicked, and that young stuff was amazing. So don't mess about with it anymore. Like, start putting some sort of higher strength stuff out younger because it really worked. Just go for it. And yeah. So hopefully, obviously, stations above my slightly above my station, they might listen to me and put out younger stuff at stronger. That would be good. But yeah, no, that was nice.
What was the, like, you've dashed straight into drams, but what was, and I appreciate the fact that I asked you what was in your glass, but what was the venue like this year? I mean, before it was,
HAC, Honourable Artillery Company in a city.
Yeah, it was there before, which is also where the car show is and a whole bunch of other stuff, which is actually a wicked venue overall. With a giant cricket pitch. So where was it now? Like southeast London?
It's down in Woolwich. It's at the fireworks factory. It's basically like a gentrified area of Woolwich, which is hard to believe in itself. But yeah, venue was a lot bigger, more space. Didn't feel that busy. It obviously did get busier on the Friday, but because we took ourselves away to the masterclass area,
yeah,
it kind of, I missed that buzz. There was a few drunk dickheads.
Wasn't you there? You were
there
on the trade date. Anyway, weren't you?
It was trade, but it was open to everyone else.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think, it's a decent enough venue. What's been up my arse is transport because it annoys me so much. It's not too far from where I live now in a straight line. But for me to get home, I had to go back into London to come back out.
Yeah, of course. You had to go to Central and then back out.
Yeah,
that's just a pain. That's classic.
Yeah, but that's just been, that's annoying. I've done a lot of commuting this week.
You should have just got an Uber home. You just got an Uber home.
I did think about it, but then I thought.
But then you'd still have to go, you've still got to get over the river. So you've still got to go either left or right, haven't you? You can't just go directly home.
I mean, what twisted my arm was going for a bit of food with Andrew Lenny, Kieran Healy Ryder, and Kirsty McCallum from White & McKay.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that did twist my arm and stayed, and we had a lovely old chat afterwards. We watched Scotland.
Check you out.
Watched Scotland get hammered by the Netherlands, which was hilarious. Andrew was going absolutely crazy. And obviously with Diego as well. But interesting people I bumped into, obviously apart from those.
From the people you went to dinner with. I had a great dinner.
Yeah.
Plus, I met some interesting people.
New independent bottler on the horizon. Chap called Luke Patience. And his bottling company is Unkiltered.
Yeah? Yeah, got
quite
it.
Quite
what
I did there. Yep. Decent. So, heard him chatting, asking about a few questions to Bladnock. And heard him drop that he was an independent bottler. And I was like, ha ha. So I followed him basically for a bit and then went, oi, what are you doing? Talk to me. So he's about 10 months into the indie bottling journey and they're probably looking at their first release, maybe end of April, start of May. So okay. I was like, right, that would be great to have you on to just talk through the process of what you've been through. So I imagine the red tape is horrific, okay. sourcing stuff. And yeah, it's not often you meet someone that's sort of early to mid 30s, retired, ex-Olympian. He's actually a three-time Olympian for GB in sailing. So yeah, really, really nice character. Him and his sister have set it up. So hopefully we'll get in touch with them and do something down the line with those guys. And then lastly, another one, a lad called Gurpreet from the Anoka Distillery, A-N-O-H-K-A, in Canada, Alberta. And he is a proper scientist and was sort of showing off his new make. And he had a 15-month-old Canadian peated whiskey that, no joke, you would have said was wee beastie, if not something stronger, like a sort of Corey Vecchin. It was stunning. Really right. good stuff. And it's only 15 months old.
It's like pretty much barely aged new make, right?
Yeah. So he won the award for best new make. He is all about experimenting with like yeast strains and stuff. So coming off the back of the chat with Stuart, he was talking about Pinnacle yeast and how it makes a difference. And I said, oh, yeah, but you can get a bit more out of it. And he goes, we both at the same time went MG Plus. And it was like, oh, we had a nerd off. And that, yeah, it was quality. But no, so he had some really good stories about how he nearly set his distillery on fire on the first run, nearly burned the whole thing down. Because he basically had what can only be described as a jet engine direct firing underneath, burnt the whiskey and nearly set the place. He had flames coming out the side of the distillery.
Amazing. Where's the distillery?
Alberta in Canada.
Alberta.
So he knew about Black Fox and stuff, and he was like, oh, they're crazy. They age outside. So, yeah.
Those crazy Canadians, eh? Like making whiskey with jet engines, keeping it outside.
Why are you talking about it?
Minus 30 degrees or whatever.
Yeah. Big shout out to Canadian Jeff. We haven't seen him for a year.
Oh, my
miss Jeff. I'm going to drop a random message to check in on him.
Let's just try and meet Canadian Jeff up for a drink, essentially.
What a character. Yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of my long-winded review of what's been in my glass, up my arse, and Whiskey Live London. So take a breath. How about you? What's in your glass? What's been in your glass? And what's been up your chuff?
Well, I just focus on the the most notable things of the week. I did a lot of sample swapping. So shout out to Pad Whiskey, Andrew. And also to Brian VR46. He lives in Northern Ireland. He's into his motorbikes and I think he's an electrical engineer or something like that by trade. Lovely guy. Anyway, we've done a sample swap. He sent me actually three Irish whiskies and two Woodrows to try. So I've got I've got the new Teeling Crystal Malt and I've also got a Redbreast Tawny Port to try and one of the Dingles that I can't pronounce. Griansad and Gim, something about Graham leaving, something like that. Probably means Graham is leaving.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a great, because Graham and Faye are moving on, aren't they, from Dingle? In other news.
I didn't know that. I've missed that.
Yeah, they are, yeah. But there's been a ban on a certain length of shorts in Ireland across the whole country. So actually quite a few people having to leave, including Graham.
Yeah.
They're people who aren't willing to wear slightly longer shorts that are more appropriate. So sad, isn't it?
I hope if you're listening, I hope you're doing well in whatever your next pasture is.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't announced it yet. I'm sure some people know. We don't know. But we'll wait and watch with bated breath. But anyway, so Brian sent me some drams. So I've also sent drams back to both of them. Got to send some drams to another Brian. You know, the Brian, Spreadsheet Brian. AKA Malt Musings, legend. Yeah. So that's partially been up my arse, because as much as I love receiving whiskey and giving whiskey, just the bottling it, wrapping it up, taking it to the post office winds me up. Don't tell me I can get them to pick it up from me, because it's not that far to walk. A highlight from one of these things I tried is a Watt Whiskey Campbelltown blended malt, first fill burbs, 6-year-old, 58.6%. Andrew tells me that it is indeed a teaspoon Scotia, and it does taste like a Scotia. First fill, it's just really big on vanilla and caramel, and then other stuff that you'd expect, you know, the funk and a bit of peat in there too. Decent. That was really good. And I made some more time to try this Black Friday Lowland 15-year-old, which I gave you a sample of. And so I wondered if you tried it. but I absolutely adore it.
I did. I think I mulled it. I don't think I made any notes.
I adore it anyway, just because of the mouthfeel and the texture. And also, an auction win. I got a Lejig, which
Lejig. Is... 15.
Yeah, 15. So this one was 2002 to 2017, 15 years old.
Nice.
And I got it because it looks like a bit more classic in profile. It's basically just tar, coal dust, peat, sooty, ashy, beachy backdrop. And it's chucked in a bit of sort of hard candy, barley sugar, lemon. So it basically just tastes of like eating lemons on on a pile of coal.
Nice.
Whilst on fire. It's actually it's different because these days I don't know if they don't seem to put stuff out like that anymore, really. No. So that's why I got
it. Is that Douglas Lang one?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. And what's been up my ass is
Me cheating on you and doing another podcast?
Oh my gosh, no, that was actually really great. No, that was great. It was great just to see how average you were on your own.
Prick.
No, it was nice. Actually, we should shout out Whiskey Sean, right?
Sean on Whiskey Wales.
Whiskey Wales. Mike.
Welsh spelling.
Yeah, Mike featured on there, and he was tested on his Welsh whiskey knowledge, which was patchy at best, despite some last-minute research. So you should... once you've listened to this in full, give that a check, give that a listen, give that a little tune in.
Indeed.
I enjoyed it. I listened to it on Sunday with a cup of coffee in the morning. Yeah,
oh, it's decent. Good.
Anyway, what's been up my ass is when you get insurance quotes and you know it's going to be too high, they pump everything up these days. It's crazy. You get like a quote and it's like 80% higher than last year. 80%.
Yeah.
The inflation is like 5, 6, 7, 8%. Where's this 80% nonsense coming from? It's not even like... One was just basic house insurance, and there's nothing happened to the building. I was like, how can they justify 80%? Then you have to call in or go online and switch. And I usually call up to give them a chance to have a short conversation with them.
Give them their best. Go on, try and keep me.
Oh, what the annoying bit is, when you call up, these days, all of these crafty big companies try to use the absolute friendliest voice possible. So I think the voice they were using... after spending 7 minutes listening to automated messages was some like Lancashire accent or something. Mm. Can you do a Lancashire accent? You know, like, So if they were saying,
it were great.
So all you got to do is like that. And it's like,
go to Wales.
I was just like, that's what's been up my ass because they know what they're saying is incredibly frustrating and they're deliberately using the most.
Friendly. It's normally Geordies.
Yeah. It wasn't Geordie this time.
Yeah, I think it's Geordie. Wales is quite high in the friendly voice thing. It's like, oh, I'd love to try and help you, my darling, but we can't cancel it at the moment. If you do cancel it, it's going to cost you £140.
Not even the people that are speaking. So, like, before you even get to the call centre, people to actually speak to somebody, they're using the automated voice message.
We know you're waiting, sir. Yeah. We love your call.
Choose 3 for blah, 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 and choose 4 for blah, 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 and choose 5 for blah, blah, blah. And we're so happy to have you on the line. Just a few more minutes of options. And so it's really winding me up. But my point is, I'd love to see them just use something like sort of chalkboardy type voice, you know, to do that kind of stuff. And just
voice?
Just get somebody with a really annoying accent. Just
like a scratchy.
And just do what they actually want to do, which is basically get you to hang up because they don't want you to be on the phone, right?
Yeah.
So my point is, I don't understand why they use these friendly voices because people are still irritated. If they had somebody that didn't have that calming voice, I would have already hung up. I would have already changed my insurance policy, which is obviously what they want. Otherwise, I wouldn't have 7 minutes of automated messages before you get through to speak to somebody.
That's so after talking about customer services last week and how much you love good customer services, you now want someone to be abrupt and rude to you when you're trying to do something.
It just feels a bit duplicitous, like all these nicey voices.
Oh, fucking hell. Hang on. Let me get at Google.
Yeah. Anyway, so good thing from the week was I was having a walk earlier and I had a wee idea. And so I messaged Master and Moore about it. I said, how about giving credit to people's accounts? Because obviously most people have a Master and Moore account, right?
Yep.
How about giving, anyone could do this, but Master and Moore have the depth of bottles, sales and whiskey content, right? Because they have reviews on their website. And so actually, they're accruing quite a few reviews.
Yeah.
And they have your account information and they do discounts and codes. So I said to them, how about giving credit to people's accounts of say like £1 per review up to a maximum of say 10 or £15 discount accrued. So every time you gave a review, you get £1. And that we're going to add up, for example, to a maximum of 10 or £15.
People are just going to take the piss.
No, but it couldn't go beyond that because they've capped it, right? Then it resets once used. And this could motivate more people to leave reviews on your website and lead to more sales. Do you know how many bottles I buy and I drink from them, and I just don't leave.
Maybe
a
if it
on
was
website.
Like a maximum of a tenner.
Yeah, I just said maximum tenner, didn't I?
Over like 80 quid only. You can only use it against purchases over 80 quid.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to have some conditions. Like maybe you have to spend more than 50 quid or whatever. I'm sure they'll work out the fine tuning. But I feel like that'd be an easy way to like say thanks for actually leaving a review and motivate people to give more reviews and give a bit of discount back, maybe lead to more sales. It was just an idea.
Because so otherwise I'd just go and buy two Glencairns for a pound, like a penny, leave a load of reviews and just keep, just stock my house with Glencairns.
No, yeah, I don't think they'd have to. You couldn't just sit there like spamming like reviews for the same one. They'd have to have more kind of rules in place or whatever. Anyway, so they said thanks for the idea and they passed it on to the team. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Flipping back to yours, good news, home insurance. So I had an entirely different conversation with a home insurance company today.
Yeah.
I looked at my bank statement and I was like, why have I got money going out to Bradford and Bingley? And I couldn't work out where it was coming from. I've been paying home insurance on a house I left in 2019. So I rang
for 4 years.
Yeah. And I think you started at 25, but it's now, as you say, increases. I've been paying £45 a month. And
oh, my days, for 4 years.
Like, yeah. So she's like, I'll sort that out, pet. She was a Geordie. So that's, can be winging its way. And Lara was like, what was it? Are you getting it back? How much is it? I was like, oh, well, I think it's about 400 quid maybe. Definitely more. But yeah, that's a nice bottle for me. And then a lovely meal. Keep everyone happy.
Everyone's happy. What a
win.
I was
like, oh, it's like a savings plan.
Oh, yeah, that's really nice. Good job.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Easter episode today, loosely tied in Easter episode.
Yeah.
I thought the first most obvious thing for us to do would be to discuss chocolate and whiskey.
Discuss what? Chocolate! You turned into Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt, sorry. I've really
just my miss of chocolate.
Just for people that regularly listen to the podcast, my voice is not the best at the moment, so apologies for that. Yeah, chocolate and whiskey, but chocolate and whiskey, I mean, I actually...
Good combo.
It is a good combo. I don't think you can really get it wrong unless you go sort of apprentice on it. So if you've ever seen The Apprentice, they'll do stupid things like they'll give two, you know, there's two teams, usually it's boys versus girls, men versus women, right? Although, to be fair, judging by the mental acuity of some of them, maybe it is actually boys versus girls.
Have you got a thesaurus out today or something?
No, I usually just dumb it down for you, Mike, but I've just decided to let loose.
Great.
So, I think they did an episode, and my view on chocolate and whiskey is just don't mess it up. Don't go for like chili chocolate or something random like that.
Yeah.
Don't go for like any ridiculous flavors. I think there was an episode on The Apprentice where they just made stupid flavors. Chocolate is best when it is good quality milk or dark chocolate.
Yep.
Salt works with it. Caramel works with it. Mint works with it. Orange works with it. I mean, where else do you need to go?
I remember my first whiskey and chocolate experience was probably Whiskey Live in 2016 with Claire Vulkins.
Right.
Got chatting to her. It was the first time she'd helped out on a boutique stand. And chatting away. And she pulled out the Lindt salted caramel chocolate.
Ooh.
She's like, have a piece of this and then try this Tennessee bourbon. And my word, that was a life-changing experience. I was like,
life-altering.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you were hit by, moments absolute, later, you were hit by a train.
Yeah. Stunning. Like, it paired so well. The chocolate transcended, like, fucking everything. It was just beautiful. It worked so, so well
There's a chocolate in Japan that's like that. It comes in fancy boxes that's some sort of special type of chocolate they only make in Japan. Mm. That's similar. It sort of does feel a bit sort of transcendent. And then you eat a whole box and you just feel the same thing you always feel after eating lots of chocolate. Yeah. Guilt.
Sadness.
Yeah. But
looking down and poking yourself in the belly, just shedding the tears. Why did you do it while you're still eating the fucking quality street?
I feel like now's a good time to remind people that chocolate Glencairns are officially a thing some places in the world. And that for me feels like maybe the ultimate indulgent Easter treat, which is... get hold of some chocolate Glencairns or whatever, some sort of drinking vessel made out of chocolate. Can you go wrong?
Be careful not to eat brown Glencairns, just in case it is glass. We're not saying just start having a nibble.
I honestly thought you were going somewhere else with that. dear me. So I thought, I was going to say initially, well, why don't we do this sort of chocolate and whiskey? And I've read some articles and I started to drift off online. I was going to say we could just sort of recap some people's articles, but it just feels very straight down the line. So
yeah,
I thought it'd be more fun for us to devise our own whiskey Easter egg hunt.
A Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, a Easter egg hunt, indeed. Yeah. And try to come up with the most interesting one we could do. I've also looked at some Guinness World Record stuff around Easter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, you know what people are like. They always try to win at something somewhere in the world. Probably America. Probably America.
America.
By the way, about a fair chunk of people do actually listen to the pod in America now, don't they? So
I think I put the last one out at midnight, something like that.
Late.
By the time I'd woken up, it had 30 plays. So for the 30 Americans, thank you, y'all. All right.
Yeah. Be really cool to do like a late version of the late show whiskey version. That'd be super cool.
That would have been our Christmas do, mate.
Yeah, well, next time, right? But anyway, if you are American listening to the pod, feel free to give us a shout. Thanks very much. Or Canadian, because there's some Canadians as well.
Yeah, true.
So is there anything
Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, well, before we go, is there anything else you wanted to add on the chocolate and whiskey thing? That's what I was going to say to you before we move on to devising whiskey.
I would recommend the Lindt range for anyone that wanted to have a little mess about, because salted caramel, raspberry,
right.
As you said, the sea salt one, the mint.
Yeah.
They all go and experiment. Have a little bit, not too much. Don't smash a whole bar. Just have a square. Restrict yourself. It's fine. And then try a few different drams. See if one just suddenly goes and clicks.
I just thought of one tip for people, which is this. Don't eat chocolate in bed. That's the tip. Because if you happen to drop some on the bed sheet...
Yeah,
it doesn't look like chocolate the day after, and if you can't remember or other people look at it, they'll be horrified. So just
if your missus walks in while you're trying to clean it up, licking it the next day, it's just a bad look.
Yeah, but seriously, when we were younger, I remember that happened with my parents, and I think we'd all, I don't know, because you're young, your kids were having, you must have been Easter, and we probably had some chocolate in bed or whatever, and that happened, and I remember thinking, oh my god, what is that? But it was chocolate, right?
Did you shit yourself and your parents just trying to convince you that it's Easter?
Yeah, that's
it's okay, Duncan.
That's exactly
don't touch the chocolate. Don't touch the chocolate, but it's okay.
And
it's only chocolate.
Still in therapy for it now, Mike.
Yeah.
So anyway, if there's no other tips, I'm going to move on to devising the greatest ever
Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
Well, Easter egg whiskey hunt.
But if you can come up with any other better ideas or different ideas, feel free to let us know. So the first thing that stands out to me, I'm just going to pitch in straight away with something, which is, I feel like it wouldn't be that difficult to make whiskey shaped chocolate, as in the hot, like a 70 sil bottle version of whiskey that was wrapped in foil instead of an Easter egg. So basically it'd be like, it just looked like a whiskey bottle, but it'd be wrapped in foil. Okay.
Good.
You going with me on that one?
Yeah.
Now, if you did that and it was wrapped in foil, it would be possible to host a hunt where some of the bottles were real bottles and you wouldn't know until you'd picked it up. So you could have, for example, one real bottle of whiskey and everything else was chocolate.
That's good.
That's good, right? Yeah, that would be exciting. Yeah.
Do you know what immediately came into my mind when you said about this? Getting samples, little miniatures.
Yeah.
And essentially getting a load of people together,
Do
a tasting or whatever, get them absolutely smashed, and then send them out into a field with a little basket hunting for miniatures that you've got hidden around. You know, like toddlers go hunting for eggs
and they miss
their baskets and stuff. Absolutely obliterated adults, drunk as hell, trying to find miniature whiskies and then film it. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, and whatever they find, they get to drink, right?
Yeah. That was the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, Someone missing their basket like four times, just dropping it and just going basketball.
It's funny you should say that, because I thought I was trying to think what has been done, and I feel like it's a miss. I can't believe I haven't seen a distillery that does an actual replica of their own bottle in chocolate for Easter as a gimmick. But I guess distilleries don't really do a lot of gimmicks. But equally, doing like a crossover with the chocolate with the egg with like a miniature inside it would be pretty cool. Have you seen that? I don't know if I've seen it. I can't believe that it's never been done. I mean, you know, I feel like it probably has been done, but that would also be pretty cool. And then I started to think, how would you make it more fun, right? And I feel like the location obviously would make a difference. So I for a start, I'm pretty set on having replica whiskey bottles made out of chocolate and then one or two real bottles, right?
Good.
So where are we going to host it? Where's the venue going to be?
You'd have to have multiple around the UK. It's going to have to be like one per major city.
Have you seen what Cadbury's have done online?
Yes.
They've done some sort of digital app thing where you can hide stuff for people and tell them where it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the treasure hunting type game, and it's just all on GPS coordinates and things.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
decent.
Could easily do that.
Yeah. Spirit of hunting chocolate. That's going to be misused.
Imagine
somehow.
You wanted chocolate, sure. And you fucking got
you find a body.
Like,
maybe it's going to be people.
Find a body. God, you've gone dark.
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, if you, some people could do that and then share the coordinates.
How was Easter? Shit, you would not believe.
Share the coordinates. Share the coordinates with people, and they could find something they don't want to find, couldn't they? So I guess that's not going to be Cadbury's fault.
Just wanted chocolate or whiskey. Yeah. And I ended up 16 hours in a police station trying to explain why I was digging up a corpse.
I was pretty sure the egg was underneath the body.
Yeah.
that was my explanation. Yeah. Oh, dear. Somebody say crime scene. Don't disturb it. Anyway, so I was thinking, wherever it is, it would be really fun if the whole notion was there was one bottle that you could actually find. But when you've got that bottle, people would be like dodgeball or something like that, where people can get like ruled out. Yeah, it'll be like an active
throwing Easter,
like,
bottles at each other.
No, not throwing bottles. Like paintball or dodgeball, some kind of way of tag. Okay. Right. So basically, it becomes like this great egg escape. Like you're trying to get away to escape with the bottle. So it would be like a hunt. But you can be ruled out.
You could use
somehow.
Maybe the little like the mini eggs filled with cream, and you could just launch them at people. And they're going to blow up when they hit them.
I'm sure they'd still hurt. I just meant like a softball in dodgeball or whatever.
Got to add a bit of pain into it. Keep it interesting.
And then I'd love to. I was trying to think of a way of sort of craning sort of go karts in there, and then I couldn't get past. Do you remember like the episodes of Funhouse when they'd come out and they'd get onto those go-karts and they'd just go around in like circles, grabbing tags off the side? So then I was imagining that if you had these little go-kart things and you were going around, you'd have to pull the eggs off the side or clues or something like that, and then you'd jump back out. So that then led me to the fact that I think my ultimate location for an Easter egg hunt would be at the original Funhouse studio. You know when they used
would
to go
would you
up
need
the stairs?
Pat Sharp to
no, Pat Sharp doesn't
host
have to be
it.
There. No, it'd be fine. Yeah, he'd be
really?
Well, okay, go on then. Yeah. Anyway, do you remember it was like a mountain they'd climb up and they'd go into the different sections, right? That is where I want to have the Easter egg hunt, in the original Funhouse.
That would be very cool.
That would be so cool. And then when you've got your egg, you come down, or your bottle, or whatever, you know, whatever you've got, you come down and you get into those stupid go-karts. I can't even remember the point of what they were doing.
No,
right. You're just going
like grabbing medals
or tokens
or
something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I never really fully understood that bit, but sometimes it still used to go wrong, even though like they'd managed to steer off, even going about 2 miles an hour. Still, crashed.
Mate, those go karts are hard to control. I remember going on Telethon 90 in the HTV Wales studios, and I was picked out of the audience to drive a go kart on TV live, and I drove it off the stage. it was a circular stage, so I had two wheels off.
Yeah.
So I was just on an angle, driving round and round the fucking stage. I just remember looking out at my parents, my dad just shaking his head at me like, that's not my child. But no, I had a slightly different thought.
Yeah, go on.
which I think is actually be pretty damn cool. It was probably left it too late now, but you could organise something like that. You know, as you get like London Cocktail Week, and each bars have a certain whiskey, a certain cocktail, and you've got to go around and visit them all and mark it off your cards.
Yep.
You could have like a break-even dram in a number of like different bars around like London, Edinburgh, Glasgow and stuff. So it's like a whiskey hunt, essentially, where you'll just go and visit for one day something that is maybe quite heavily chocolate-based in terms of flavour, and you can go around and get a decent dram at a non-expensive price. But that was my thought.
How does that link back into eggs or chocolate doesn't. Somehow?
It was some chocolate linked in the flavours. So
I guess you could have it time-limited. You have to get around to a certain number of places to try the break-even dram, and the first to get to the end or whatever wins. I mean, or along the way, there are clues and,
I was just thinking of a genuine business idea. I think it'd be good. You could probably encourage a bit more business through your bar.
Yeah, so that's true. Although if people are going to go to the next place to get the next break-even dram, you're not going to make any money, are you? So
depends where they start. They could settle in your bar and ask you for the night.
If you had really creamy dome Guinness, then they might stay. That's the trick, isn't it? Do they go, "We've got to go." And you go, "Oh, just there's a Guinness for that person over there. Oh, that looks really creamy. Oh, we'll just have a Guinness. Go on then." That's how it works. So I had a look online at some of these Guinness World Records. And how many, the largest ever Easter egg hunt, this is off the official Guinness World Records website, by the way. So how many eggs do you think were in the largest ever Easter egg hunt? It was in Cypress Gardens.
Got to be in America.
Florida. It was in Florida in 2007.
Florida, full of fat people. 5 eggs per person. Let's say 1,000. 5,000.
Now I feel ashamed for them, not for you. For them.
Yeah.
501,000 eggs.
What?
Yeah. 9,753 children. I assume this was when a storm wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, right? That's the largest ever Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, there was a big increase in diabetes in that period on the medical charts.
The largest ever Easter egg, decorated Easter egg, was in Brazil somewhere. No, it was in Brazilian town, right, called Pomerode in 2019. And it was 15 meters tall. That's pretty bonkers, isn't it?
That's decent.
I wonder if we can. Is anyone ever going to beat any of this stuff? This is pretty crazy. Someone did the Easter egg tree, and they broke the record for the largest Easter egg tree. How many painted hen eggs had they hung on this tree, Mike?
1,000.
No, again, very low. 82,404. Who on earth?
People need to get a hobby.
People need to get a life. Think about what they could have done.
They need to start drinking whiskey.
What could they have done with that time? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's not exactly
there and had a coffee.
They could
and just relax.
How many meals on wheels could they have done in that time or whatever? I mean,
that could be someone's like ultimate memory that they're like going to the grave happy. Like, oh, that was the best day ever.
Can you imagine? Yeah, well, I don't know. Right. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, sometimes humans do some very dedicated things. So hats off to them, but. Is it the best use of your time? I don't know.
No, it is not.
No, it isn't. Reminds me, actually, usually around Easter, all the on the post boxes, all the knitted things start popping up. You know, people do like Easter displays and stuff. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Do you get that where you are, or is it too spicy in Kent? Do you know what I mean?
No, on top of they post always boxes. Get nicked.
Oh, right. No, they don't.
So, yeah, they do. There's always like posts on the local like Nextdoor app or on Facebook or one of the groups, like. Just a picture of it, and then like people like, "I can't believe it's been stolen." I was like, "I can."
Right.
Kids are wankers.
Another one for you. The most expensive of a hot cross bun. Hot cross bun baked in 1829 in Stepney in the UK was bought by a gentleman called Bill Foster for £155 and antiques for everyone's show in the NEC in Birmingham, West Midlands in 2000. It was originally made to hang in the kitchen to ward off evil spirits. Surely that had gone off by then. That would have been mouldy, wouldn't it?
Would have been horrendous.
Man, that would have been.
Assuming they didn't eat it. Do you like hot cross buns?
They're okay. If they're bought and in the cupboard, I'll have a crack. But I wouldn't go out of my way to buy them.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a crumpet. Fucking... And they're
Lara
available all year round.
Annoys me because she buys packs of hot cross buns, doesn't eat them.
If they're toasted
and I end
with
up
a bit of
butter in a whole pack.
Yeah, if they're toasted with a bit of butter on them or a bit of jam, they're all right. But it's not the best, is it? I mean, there are better breaded. I'd probably rather have a Scotch pancake or a crumpet or something like that.
Yeah,
just a bit.
But
of
they
bread.
Fall in the category of it has to be eaten within. Same as like a French baguette.
They go off real quick.
You got to do it that day. If you don't muller that, you're throwing money away. That's why I'm so fat. I hate throwing food away.
Yeah, I'm the same. Hate throwing food away. Here's another one for you. Most entrants into an egg hunt competition was in London, 2012, 1st of April. 1st of April. Isn't that April Fool's Day? This feels like it might be a trick.
Yeah.
anyway, how many people entered this egg hunting competition? This feels beatable. This was...
In London, 3,000.
12,773, but that feels like that could be beaten, right? I mean,
easy,
yeah. So if you're going to go after record, right?
We've got it.
That's it. We're going to go after the most ever entrants for a Easter egg hunting competition, right? Which should just be one. One cream egg. That's all we have to buy, Mike.
And mini eggs.
Yeah, just a mini egg, single mini egg. And in a
just
field
line
somewhere.
Them all up and only put it a meter away from people.
Yeah.
You just get a line of like 15,000 people.
We've got this. What we do is we'll go to a gig. Or a football match or whatever, and there's like 40,000 people, and we'll just chuck an egg on the floor and say that everyone has to find it.
Everyone look for it. It'd be under the seat. Sellotape under the seat.
Sellotape under the seat. And we'll win that Guinness World Record.
Yeah.
People just aren't creative enough about it. We get Guinness down there, the game.
It's going to cost us a fair bit of money to supply 40,000 eggs, Easter eggs.
No. It's just one.
Okay.
There's one egg. No one says how many eggs you have to have. It's a competition to find one egg.
Yeah.
And how many entrants? You allow people to enter free online, use a free service. They're all going to the football game anyway. 15,000 people enter. It's under someone's seat. They win. Done.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you reckon? You can't be asked, can you?
I'm not going to. No.
Do you not have any desire to get into the Guinness World Book of Records?
I have zero fucking desire to get in the Guinness World Book of Records. Why? Why?
I don't know. I just asked you. You just said no, didn't you? So, fair enough.
Yeah, but like, what?
Oh, I don't. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, if you pick something, I wouldn't say no to being in it. You were the person that was really keen to do the SMWS tasting, hoping you get a certificate and you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I forgot about it.
Again. You didn't do it.
No.
That's funny.
I did get a certificate, though.
Oh, dear me. We said today we keep it a shorter pod because they're getting longer and longer, aren't they? So, Oh, but we've got this blind dram to do from Paul, haven't we? So have you been nosing and sniffing it?
I've been nosing, sniffing, and it's a sherry beast. I think, looking at the list quickly...
I've said so far Glenfarclas and Dalyuan, right?
Mid-Dalyuan!
So,
whereas I think this is a Glenroth is 16, 50% sherry butt.
And what were the other three options on the list?
The other sherry ones. So there's Arran 24, Dalyuan. 13, Glenfarclas, which we've ruled out already, done. Glenroth is 16, refill sherry. Milton Duff, 28, and then a Scarabus Isla.
It feels
nut.
It feels very heavy on the caramel, sherry, on the nose and chocolate.
That's why I'm going Glenroth is 16.
If you try it, there's a bit of spice.
Does it make you burp?
It did. I'm just all over the place at the moment. Maybe, more sherry, more caramel. Maybe some, I don't know, like chocolate. Maybe a hint of banana, white pepper.
Nice. Good.
It's decent, one of the best, if it is Glenrothers, one of the best ones I've had. But that means that I'm left with apparently the Milton Duff, Arran, and the Scarabus. And you are left with the...
Dalyuan.
Mm-hmm. Milton Duff.
The Milton Duff and the Isla.
Because you've already said the Scarabus? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
no,
whichever one the Isla is, yeah.
Fucking hell.
All right. So, Paul Main, Whiskey Toast, thank you very much for this sample. We've had a third
intriguing.
Guest.
Intriguing.
Three down, three to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say a quick apology as well.
Oh, yeah.
There was a slight slip in the last pod where I may or may not have declared Fleetwood Mac Albatross Walrus.
Didn't sound right to me, but I didn't want to attack you, especially not with Stuart Dick on.
Yeah. So, yeah. Apologies, Fleetwood Mac, if you're listening.
That classic, that banger
probably
Walrus.
Probably not. Yeah.
there's Love a song it. In that. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for me. Look forward to getting our road trip mini series underway.
Yes.
And lining up a couple of other guests.
Indeed. And thank you as always for listening. Follow us in all the usual places at honesttoamalt.com, at honesttoamalt on Instagram, Twitter, everything else. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye, bye, bye. Bye.
Finding whiskey, looking for eggs, but finding whiskey, yeah. Looking for the whiskey, but finding their eggs, finding dead bodies, oh no. Call the phone pole, looking for eggs, finding whiskey, you know I win. Whiskey for the win.